Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast presented by Greenspun Media Group. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news straight from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, plus a compelling conversation with a performer or personality from this dynamic Vegas showbiz landscape. Thanks again for being here. I don't know about you, but I really dug the weekend's Super Bowl halftime show performance on Sunday. I thought it was the best part of the whole Super Bowl. I did read some reviews that were not kind to the weekend, but I don't know. I thought it was pretty awesome, and there was obviously a lot of Vegas influence in his show. Not surprising, just recently announced tour date in April 2022. So that's something big on the horizon to look forward to. I guess the distant horizon. But I wrote a story this week for LasVegasSun.com breaking down when we're going to see arena-sized shows in Las Vegas again. Go check that out. It went live on Monday. Obviously, the Garth Brooks concert at Allegiant Stadium that has been rescheduled to July, that's in the mix. But there's some other residency shows that didn't get a chance to open, when those things might happen. Go check it out, LasVegasSun.com. Still no word on possible changes to the COVID restrictions that could allow some other shows to open up in Las Vegas, although we are anticipating that we might hear from the governor this week about that kind of stuff. Better stay tuned to the Sun website for news on that as well. Let me give you a quick breakdown of the shows and live entertainment options that are open right now on the Strip. You've got X Country at Harrah's, Piff the Magic Dragon at Flamingo, Thunder from Down Under at Excalibur, Tape Face at Harrah's. The Rat Pack is Back show has reopened just off the Strip at the Tuscany, Extravaganza at Bally's, and Murray the Magician is back on stage at the Laugh Factory at Tropicana, as well as X Burlesque at the Flamingo. As far as comedy goes, the LA Comedy Club is still going strong at the Strat, the Laugh Factory, of course, at the Trop, Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM Grand, and then you also, off the Strip, have some comedy with Delirious at the Downtown Grand. You also have a whole bunch of different shows at the Alexis Park Resort, Magic, Burlesque, comedy, family show. There's a lot of stuff going on there. You're going to see more about that in my Friday column, Curtain Up, at LasVegasSun.com. And how about some Strip people doing some stuff off the Strip? There's a new cabaret-style show opening this weekend at Town Square at the Baobab stage. It's called The Apero Show. And the producers and creators of this used to work on Cirque du Soleil's Zumanity. This is really exciting. I know the Baobab stage is operated by another former Zumanity cast member, Wassa Koulibaly. She gave me a call last week and let me know that this thing was in the works. I'm going to be writing about this also this week in my Curtain Up column, as well as Las Vegas Weekly magazine. So stay tuned for more information about the Apero Show at Town Square. Frank Sidoris is a guitar player born and raised in Las Vegas. And I've been wanting to interview Frank for a long time because he's been touring with Slash's band, Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, for years now. And I knew that Frank would have some awesome stories, and he did not disappoint. He's got just amazing stuff to share in this week's interview. He's going to be on TV on Thursday night. He's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live with a new band, Mammoth WVH, which is Wolfgang Van Halen's band. Frank's been on Jimmy Kimmel Live a bunch of times already playing with Slash, and this is something new. This is going to be the first live performance from this band. So super exciting. Frank is such a Vegas guy, as you're going to find out. His mom is Angela Stabile, the producer of the X Burlesque shows on the Strip. and he really grew up in the Vegas entertainment scene. He's got a really cool perspective, and I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you do too. Here you go. It's Frank Sidoris.
So you're going to be playing on Jimmy Kimmel Live this week with Mammoth WVH. I hope that's the name of the band. I'm saying it right, which is
Wolfgang. No, you said it correctly. You said it correctly.
It's Wolfgang Van Halen's new band, right? How did you make this connection with him and get involved with this project?
So he had been playing with a guitarist named Mark Tremonti, who, and I'll just say this now, the solar system of bands that I am associated with, it's so crazy how tight-knit it all is, because it's like I play with Slash and Miles Kennedy, right? And so Miles plays in a band called Alter Bridge with Mark Tremonti, right? And Mark did a solo run. You know, he's put out a bunch of albums since, but in a pinch, he needed a bass player because his bass player couldn't do the gig. Literally, like, the night before they had to go on tour in England or something ridiculous. And Wolfgang Van Halen, just to make this as short as I can, someone reached out to him and was like, man, he was in town. He happened to be in town, believe it or not, where they were rehearsing. And they were like, can you please come down and fill in for this? So he ends up going on tour and opening for Slash with Mark Tremonti. And then that's how we initially met. So we played in Europe for, I think, 2 weeks or something. And then as time goes on, he used the same producer that we used. And, I remember we played in Los Angeles. We were playing the Palladium, and he had been there and he watched us play. And I knew he was making an album. You know, I didn't really know much about it, but I knew he was doing everything on it. So the whole entire album is all him. That's all the drums, the bass, the vocals, everything's him. And that same day he saw us at the Palladium in Los Angeles, in Temecula, Slash tells us that Guns N' Roses is getting back together. And we're the first people to know, as far as, like, I guess the public, if you want to say. And then about 30 minutes later, I get a text from Wolfgang from a number I don't know. And he's like, hey, man, it's Wolfgang. I got your number from Elvis. I have this band and I would love for you to be a part of it. You know, come down and see the music or listen to the music and see if you like it. And we'll go from there. And so that was, you know, 2015 or so. And that's how I got involved with him. And I've been jamming on and off with him for, you know, about that many years, essentially. And then still going back and forth with the Conspirators. And it's just crazy how incestuous this entire, the industry, but then our solar system is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, just you in particular, your career, it seems like you know, obviously you've been able to, I assume, meet your kind of your rock heroes and these guitar gods. I don't know if you got to spend much time with Eddie Van Halen or not.
I actually did get to hang with him a couple times. And it was crazy because I didn't expect him to show up, first of all. And, you know, playing guitar in front of one of the guitar players is, you know, it's definitely nerve wracking. It's like, yeah, I play guitar with Slash, but what's cool about that is that even though there's a generational gap, me and him are both huge fans of that era, if that makes sense. And it's like, obviously it means a lot to play with Slash, and I respect the hell out of him as a player, but it was just somehow different, you know. And Ed would hang out. If we rehearsed for a week, he came down 3 days, I think, out of the five that we jammed. And he was just the best. He was just such a good father too. I just love watching him and Wolf hang, and me and him got to chat a lot. And, I have a fun story for you. If you can believe this, this is, I don't know if you want to call it fate or what, but, so years ago, I got my first house in the southwest of Vegas, and my real estate agent, when she offered me, you know, a couple houses, like a list of homes, like, this is the house for you. I swear this is the one you're looking for. Just don't think I picked it because of the street name. I was like, okay. So I look at the photos, and it's the perfect house. And then the street name, the address is 9474 Van Halen Lane. True story. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. And there's no way it's an actual, like, rock neighborhood, even though Vegas has a lot of those. We have, like, a Beatles neighborhood and a Star Wars neighborhood. I was like, there's no way. I'm thinking it's like, it's got to be some Dutch named neighborhood. All the streets are. And so I go down there, and it's, you turn on Fogarty, Then you turn on Knopfler, Clapton, Van Halen. And so I lived there before I got to talk to Wolfgang about the band, and then fast forward to me still living there when I join. And he's like, I said, look, I got to get ahead of this because if you're going to send anything, or if you need any information, whatever is getting sent to my house, I can't let this happen organically. I have to tell you. And he laughed his ass off. He couldn't believe it. He's like, that's great. So then years later, Ed and his mother, Valerie, you know, as they started to come to the rehearsals, he said, hey, tell mom where you live. And I tell her the story, and she's laughing her ass off too. She's like, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. I can't wait till your dad finds out. And I was like, all right, well, let's not open with that. Like, this is Frank. He's a new guitar player. Hey, he lives on Van Halen Lane. He's totally normal. It's like, no, it's not. It was just totally by accident. So then Ed comes down, and this is the kind of guy Wolfgang is. He's the amazing sense of humor, because right when Ed walks in, I shake his hand, says hello to everyone. He sits down and he's like, hey, so Frank, where are you from? And then Wolfgang goes, yeah, Frank, where are you from? Like, what street do you live on? And then everyone's like, okay, all right. And Ed didn't know what he's talking about. He's like, yeah, just give him your ID. Just show him your driver's license. So I give Ed my driver's license, and he's just like, he takes a second, he looks at it, and he goes, oh man, I'm famous. Hey, I made it. And so, you know, to answer that question in the longest way, he was the coolest guy ever. But, you know, can you believe that, though? It's just so, it's very bizarre. It's very bizarre.
If I didn't know of many other bizarre Las Vegas associated stories, I probably would not believe that, but
yeah,
I know better. I've been here long enough.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just so, like, come on, ridiculous.
Did growing up in Vegas and just being around show business play a prominent role in your, I guess, your passion for music? Did that sort of help steer you down this road?
I'd say it was definitely, you know, it helped. It had to. It's like my mom was always in the casino, or, you know, she was always dancing, and my dad was always working in the casino, and we were always seeing shows. My sister and I had an amazing upbringing, because it's like family would come to town, and even if family wasn't in town, we would go see FX at the MGM, or we would, you know what I'm saying? Just anything show, Vegas showbiz, we were probably there. And, as I was playing guitar and before I ended up doing it professionally, I was a stagehand at the Flamingo and the V Theater, and, you know, I was always in show business for the most part. But it was something I think I was always attracted to, and being around it, I think you know, none of it pushed me away. I always liked it, you know. It's interesting. But I was actually supposed to play guitar for the, do you remember the Elvis Cirque show?
Yeah.
Viva Elvis?
Viva Elvis, yeah. It was at Aria.
Yeah. So I was, maybe 5 years of playing the guitar, I was like, this is what I, you know, obviously I'm trying to do something with this. You know, I played in local bands and whatnot, but that Elvis gig came across my desk essentially, and I was working retail, and I almost had it. And I ended up getting an offer to go on tour with an essentially local Vegas band called The Cab. Mm-hmm. And then it was a really interesting back and forth to, you know, as far as a decision, because I was like, oh my gosh, do I stay in the comfort of Cirque du Soleil, which is a solid paying gig, insurance, it's home, you know, and I'd never toured though. So all of my other Vegas entertainer, guitar players and entertainers in general were like, you'd be crazy to not go on tour and, you know, get in that van and drive across the country, do your thing. You have to do it. You need the experience. And I was like, I don't know. It's just like, what do I do? And then eventually I did that. And then Elvis closed like just a couple months later. Can you believe that? So, how about that? Like, just situation that I'm so glad I dodged, but ultimately it's like, you need to, I don't know. It was just a big lesson learned essentially. But, yeah, no, Vegas entertainment, all that's just, it's, I'm just so proud of this city. It's like, I love it. And I've always just tried to do anything to be a part of it. So, you know, that was another reason why it was so hard to kind of leave the Cirque idea, but here we are.
Is that something that maybe it's kind of in the back of your mind still, that at some point you would like to have like a steady Vegas gig?
If I did, I mean, yes, obviously there's always something in the back of my head telling me like, look, I want to do something here that would be steady, just for safety. But then on top of it, I would rather ideally create my own show of some sort that would kind of meld what I'm about as a musician and then Vegas history somehow. Cause I love the city so much, and it would just be cool to actually have my name in Vegas history somewhere, you know, on the strip or off the strip, however we make it happen. But, and there's no, to answer it, I guess I would say not really, you know, I don't want to go play for Blue Man or anything like that, but you know, I would love to have some sort of killer, you know, stamp on Vegas.
Has your Vegas experience influenced your musical tastes as well?
I mean, I wouldn't say not really. I think my musical taste was kind of curated by my mom and dad, you know, early on. Same with my sister. It's like we've always been a very musical family, not instrument wise, but just have always, you know, we've always have our, I just remember being picked up from school and we had a brand new tape, a brand new CD, a brand new whatever. We'd always listen. It was, you know, heavily influenced by my mom and dad. And it's just cool because it's like they get it. Like they love concerts. They've always been into music. And just being a fan of music, I think, pushed me into saying or into learning the guitar to appreciate those songs even more, if that makes sense. It's like I listen to Zeppelin, I listen to David Bowie or Alice Cooper, whoever. And it's like, man, I would really love to learn that. I wish I could just take that appreciation, that next step. And it's like, okay, well then the guitar is introduced to me. A lot of my friends I skateboarded with played and it was like, okay, let's do it. And then here we are. So getting to educate myself even further in the world of music has been awesome.
Now you've had at least a few times, maybe more than I'm thinking of, where you've been on tour and you've come back home and been able to play a big Vegas venue. I can't imagine what that has been like for you. I'm sure like the whole town shows up to see you, right?
That's always my favorite. I was bummed because we ended up not doing it like the last US tour. I really wanted to play Brooklyn Bowl with the Conspirators. That would have been cool because we always play the House of Blues usually. Mm-hmm. And the very first time we came back was just, I couldn't be more nervous, like, you know, excited and nervous. Cause my guitar teacher, my grandma, my entire world was at the House of Blues and we'd sell it out. And I just love it. Cause I don't know if you know, my drummer and my bass player also live here. So, a lot of the band, a lot of the entire unit is, stationed here, like the security guy, our last lighting guy. It's like, everyone's in Vegas, believe it or not. And it's just, it's always a cool homecoming. Like this city doesn't do the crossed arms, you know, LA or, you know, the industry thing. It just doesn't feel like that when we play here, which, you know, even in LA, we don't get that. Cause you know, that's Slash's house, but, it's just cool playing Vegas. And, we did New Year's Eve one time in House of Blues. Like, I think that was like 2016 or 17. And it was just the greatest. Like that, it couldn't have been any more fun. And just playing a killer gig and then driving home. It's so nuts. I love that.
The last time I saw you play was during that Monday's Dark show with Frankie Perez, another born and raised Vegas artist.
Oh yeah.
You've teamed up with him a few times now. Is that a project that you guys are hoping to continue to pursue?
100%. Because that first time, well, the one and only time that we've actually, I mean, obviously we did Monday's Dark, but full band, you know, ticketed event. We did it at the Cleopatra's Barge. And that was something that I really wanted to do. I've always just wanted to play there. Cause I've walked by it as a kid when there was water in it and the smell of that hallway, everything about it was just so nostalgic. And, you know, I got to see Wayne Newton there, I saw Dionne Warwick there. And it was just like, this will just be the most cool, like we'll pack this again with family and all of our acquaintances, whatever. And we did it once and we had a plan to do Mark Chinook. We were going to do it at the Space, full band and everything.
The next month we end up having the pandemic.
Like that happened shortly after. And it was just like, okay, so we'll put it on hold. And for now, we're still kind of hammering out potential details for another venue in Vegas, you know. we'd love to do Caesars again, you know, because that was amazing. And now nobody has to pay for parking if you're a local. I don't know if you knew that. That's pretty exciting. That hurt as a born and raised Las Vegas person. It was like, you're going to charge me for parking. Like that was,
yeah.
I would walk into LA, like just nose in the air. Like, I don't have to do this. You know, I go back home. This is free. It's ridiculous. So now, cause once things started to open up, you know, I drive to Caesars or drive to wherever and everything, all the arms were up and now they're back down. But if you have the local ID, it's incredible. Same with like, Cosmo and the Wynn. There were those outliers that weren't, you know, Caesars mm-hmm. or MGM properties that you always had to pay regardless of who you knew. But now you don't have to pay. I'm glad we could talk about this. This is a very Vegas conversation.
So. It is like the most Vegas local yeah. thing ever, because if you go to another city and you have to pay for parking, you're like, what is this garbage? And yeah. everybody else in the world is like, what are you talking about? That's how much parking costs.
That's what it is. It's like you pay for parking. Sorry.
Have you always lived in Vegas as your career has taken different turns, or did you spend some time living in LA, or what's that been like?
I essentially live in LA. You know, when things are normal, I'm always out there with Slash doing something, whether we're rehearsing or now we're writing or something. But I did live in Costa Mesa, which is just near Newport Beach, for like a semester of college when I was out of high school. And I moved back fairly quickly. I was like, I'm good. I'm good on this. I'm good on paying for parking. And that was one of the many things, but it was just like, I wasn't ready to leave. I thought I was. And then what I tell people now who don't believe I'm from Vegas, when you tell them, you know, where are you from? Vegas. Where were you born? Vegas. It's like, that's where it is. Like I get to leave. I get to go on tour for however many months out of the year, and I get to miss this city, you know. It's a really healthy balance for me. I love that. I love being able to stay home, do my thing. And then when I leave, I get to miss this city again. And when I come back, there's something new that opened up, and it's always exciting, you know? And I tell that to a lot of people, and I love seeing it, occur in, you know, some of my, like my bandmates, like I said, are out here too. They're from Canada and, they moved out here. They're like, I just cannot believe this. Essentially an oasis, like how this the price of homes and just everything, it's just so cool how easy it is to get from A to B. It's like, okay, where are you going? Just leave 30 minutes. Give yourself 30 minutes, it'll be fine. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. It's just the convenience of the city. I don't think I could leave. I mean, eventually maybe get a place somewhere else, but I'll always keep a house here, you know. Who knows? Like, I'm not ready to leave. It's just like I said, the convenience, everything about it. It's the best.
Entertainment in Vegas is, you know, it's kind of trickling in right now. Everybody is hoping that circumstances are going to change and some more shows and different things are going to open up soon. Fingers crossed. Your bread and butter is touring. And I think there's a expectation that it might take a little bit longer for that kind of operation to come back versus, you know, people right. coming to Vegas and seeing shows here. What are your thoughts about that right now? I'm sure that all, you know, these various projects you've got are just in a holding pattern. So what's your expectation yeah. right now?
A lot of people are recording, and it's interesting because, you know, you release an album and it has this upward trajectory, and then it just kind of dies because you can't tour on it. You can't keep the momentum alive by hitting different cities, different markets, whatever. As we all know, everyone's kind of moving to a more digital performance situation, which still doesn't hit the same, it doesn't scratch the same itch as going to a live concert. But I think, with, you know, vaccines and, you know, everybody taking protocols more seriously, I do believe that touring and our industry will come back. I mean, it definitely will. It's just, you know, there's dates booked and they just get canceled. There's dates booked, they get canceled. It's just, everyone's hopeful, but you just have to start small. Are you familiar with the Flaming Lips? They did a concert. Apparently I saw a photo of it, and it was just, they put everyone in a bubble, their own bubble. And that's what he did anyway to himself. Like Wayne Coyne, the lead singer, would do it and run out on the audience. And it's like, that is just the coolest thing. Like we're getting adventurous trying to make this work and whatever it takes, I guess. Cause we need those live performances, you know. I'm hopeful it's on its way, but again, you know, we're still able to we're still able to jam, still able to play with people, but it's just kind of, you have to be careful, you know, you gotta be smart about it.
And you guys going on TV on Jimmy Kimmel, it's one of the first performances of this particular band, right? There hasn't been a lot of...
No, this will be the first live anything, you know, because he just essentially, Wolf did all the interviews when, you know, announcing everything in the band. And then now this is the first of, you know, multiple to come, which is exciting.
Really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thrilled. It's cool to be like, oh, wow, here's my suitcase and I'm using it. It's just very bizarre pulling that thing out of the garage and blowing the dust off of it.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Are you ready for my weekend picks for Las Vegas live entertainment? First up, I'm going to take you off strip to the space because John Lloyd Young, amazing singer and actor, is back in Vegas doing John Lloyd Young's Vegas Valentine show on Friday at 6 p.m. There is tickets for this to see it in person. You can also catch a live stream at thespacelv.com. John Lloyd Young, of course, you probably know him from Jersey Boys, where he played Frankie Valli in the Vegas production and on Broadway and in the movie Jersey Boys. But he can do a lot more, and he's going to be doing some romantic tunes Friday at the Space. Don't miss it. Also off the strip, on the other end of things, on Sahara at the Vegas Room, Alisa Fiorello, who has performed with Pavarotti and Dave Koz and Clint Holmes and Earl Turner here in Vegas. And she toured as a backup singer with Prince for 5 years. She's taking over the Vegas Room this weekend. She's got shows at 6:30 Friday and Saturday, and the brunch show at 1 p.m. on Sunday, Valentine's Day. You can catch Alisa Fiorello and get your tickets at thevegasroom.com. Wrap up your weekend with the show that is probably doing the most shows every weekend on the strip that I can see. Thunder from Down Under does 3 shows a night, Friday and Saturday at 6, 8, and 10 p.m., and 2 shows on Sundays at 8 and 10 in the Thunderland showroom at the Excalibur. You know, I've been talking about these burlesque shows, and I forgot to mention the guys, so head on over to Thunderland and get your tickets at excalibur.com. That's all I got for this week's episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thank you so much for listening. Special thanks to Frank Sidoris for speaking with me this week. Don't forget to tune in to Jimmy Kimmel Live Thursday night and catch Frank playing guitar with Wolfgang Van Halen and the rest of the group Mammoth WVH. I think we're going to see more Frank performing in Vegas again real soon. And I cannot wait for that. You can find past episodes of this show at Apple Podcasts and at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. See you next week. Take care.